1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 to 42. And in this discourse, I want to look at verse 32, and just taking a glimpse at verse 33. Jonathan is now at the feast with his father, and his father's anger is flared up because David has not come. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he called him the son of a perverse woman, a perverse and rebellious woman. And he spells it out, "You've sided with the son of Jesse, against your own hurt and against your own shame and the shame of your mother. As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die." Now remember, this is a public feast. Remember, Saul is his father. Saul is his king. Saul possesses almost absolute power. But Jonathan has made a covenant with David, an agreement that Jonathan will not betray David, but will protect him and tell him everything and defend him, that they are one in heart and mind. But here comes the test. How will Jonathan react to this? Public feasts, eating, drinking, fun, pleasure, people watching, flattery, open anger like this. All these are dangerous times. I do not issue these discourses because I've got to the place where I'm beyond these temptations, where I've never failed or stumbled or fallen. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not offering these discourses as a mere judgment upon others. I hope they will reprove. I hope they'll reprove me. I hope they'll rebuke you, brother and sister. I hope they'll instruct and warn and encourage, as they should do. All scripture is profitable for these things. Here is a warning to us. Here is an encouragement to us in Jonathan. How will he stand? He's in a very, very dangerous place. The pressure is on. His self-interest is at stake. His public shame he's going to get. He can be flattered here. He can fawn himself upon his father. Watch the company we keep. If we sit at the seat of the scornful, if we sit with the scorners, no wonder if we come into trouble. Now, how did Jonathan ask this question? Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Is it a gentle request? Is he calling for evidence, an answer? I know the answer to that question by the way his father reacted. Verse 33, "But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him, even his own son." Why? Because Jonathan, in verse 32, was not asking. He was stating. He put it in the form of a question, but it's a vehement question. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? That's how Jonathan asked it, I'm sure. It was a demand, an imperious demand. He was standing up to his father. He was not cowering and cringing. He wasn't agreeing with his father. He wasn't doing as he was told. Remember the Nazis, that was their standard reply when the trials came. I was only obeying orders. Jonathan could have obeyed orders here. He could have kept him with David because David's eye is not upon him. David doesn't know. But he doesn't ingratiate himself with his father, nor does he look after number one, Jonathan. But he looks after his friend, David. Do you keep your word, brother? Sister? I challenge myself. Do we keep our word? Christ keeps his word to us. God commands us to keep our vows and our promises. The skill in bringing up children as parents is not simply that they'll do what they're told when our eye is upon them, but they'll do it what they should do when our eye is not upon them. This is the test for Jonathan. Will he keep him with both sides, David, who will never know, and Saul? No, he'll keep his word. Remember the two sons went to the vineyard, one saying he wouldn't, but did, and the other saying he would, but wouldn't, didn't. Which one was the true son to him? Jonathan could have played the hypocrite here. He could have let the innocent take the punishment. He could have stood aside. the company, the feasting, the relaxing, the public occasion, all dangerous times. The seat of the scornful, the table of the scornful. Watch out, my brother and sister, the company you keep. Watch out for the places you go to, the meetings you associate with, the fellowship you have with others. If we hide our lights under a bushel, you know, we're guilty. We must keep our word. These are challenging thoughts. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. He stood up to him. He stood for the right. He stood for his friend. He kept his word. It cost him dear, but Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. It costs to be a Christian. There are brothers and sisters today in the world who are in this kind of place where they're put under all sorts of pressure. Moral, mental, physical, spiritual pressure. May God bless them all. Jonathan comes through with flying colors here. He has stumbled a bit on the way. He's makes his mistakes. He's a bit slow off the starting blocks. But here, he stands his ground. He has made his vow to David, and he will keep it. O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Jesus came into the world to do his Father's will, and he did it to the end. It is finished, he says. Paul could say, I have finished the course. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Jonathan kept faith with his brother David here, even to his own hurt. May I have the stamp of Jonathan in my life today, even in my relationships with others, above all in my stance for Christ and his gospel and his word. May I not buckle in the face of unbelievers, in the face of opposers. May I stand for Christ, live for Christ, write for Christ, breathe for Christ, sing for Christ, write for Christ. Whatever I do, may I do all to the glory of God today. And may I be faithful. Jesus was faithful to me. God is faithful. May I be faithful. Jonathan was faithful here. May God bless these few remarks to us all. Amen.